AM 1470 WBKV. It is 8:16. Fleetwood Mac and Rhiannon from 1978. And we are joined on the phone this morning by Frank Frasetto with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Rick, good morning to you. I hope you're doing well on this beautiful, sunny day.
It's a little overcast over here, but we're making our way through because it's, you know, above 50.
We'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's start there. This kind of weather makes people think about, you know, going outside, spring vacations, summer vacations. You guys just came out with a packet of information on how people can avoid getting ripped off when they go out of town or out of the country.
Yeah, we did. Cabin fever, you know how it is, as we're coming out of the winter doldrums, and you've got spring break on your mind, and this also happens to be Consumer Protection Week, National Consumer Protection Week, and so all of us who are consumer advocates are trying to make sure that we remind people about making sure you try to do what you can to avoid the risk of having your identity stolen, having your financial information ripped off, and just really remembering some simple tips and get into that habit of doing these things that will, as I said, minimize or at least mitigate your risk of being defrauded.
Okay, where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the pre-trip. I mean, these are, you know, you're packing your bags, you're digging out your passport, you're doing all these really neat things and getting very excited, but you got to remember a couple of really simple things. One is, and a lot of us don't carry a lot of cash anymore, but we rely on cards, whether they're credit or debit cards. So what you're going to want to do is make sure you alert your credit card company or your financial institution that you're going to be in a different location and making purchases. That will help you from getting locked out by your companies who all of a sudden realize there's a lot of activity going on in maybe an island in the Caribbean or somewhere down in Texas or Florida, where normally you've been conducting activity in West Bend. So that's a good thing to do. Put your mail on hold so that it doesn't accumulate in your mailbox because people driving by looking at something like that, or even the newspapers that are laying in your driveway, pretty much indicate to a thief that there's nobody at home taking care of business, which puts your home and valuables at risk of being stolen. And you might also want to consider having a credit card as your main source of transactions rather than a debit card, because if that debit card is lost or stolen and if it's tied to either your checking or your savings account, you might find out that that's going to be drained if somebody has been able to access that information from your debit card. So use a credit card. There are other protections that go with it, and certainly there's a peace of mind that you can have along with your trip.
Now, this new chip technology that's out there, does that apply in other countries, do you know, or where are we with that?
Yeah, Great Britain, Canada, Mexico, Asian countries, they've already transitioned over to that chip technology, and it's a much more secure transaction that occurs because the embedded chip in the card creates a one-time transaction code, if you will. And so if a scammer gets a hold of your card and they try to use it, they're going to have trouble because that code changes every single time, as opposed to the magnetic strip, which carries all the information of your transactions. But that, at this point, it's being rolled out in the United States throughout 2016. It started back in October. But it still leaves some windows of opportunity for thieves because the key is making sure that the terminal in the retail store has been upgraded. So when you dock your card and it asks you to put in your PIN, that's a secure transaction. But if the terminal hasn't been upgraded when you're going to pay for all your items and you still have to swipe it, it's still using the magnetic strip technology and it may require your signature. So we're not totally out of the woods yet, but once we get through this implementation stage, hopefully we'll see a reduction in credit card fraud.
Speaking of magnetic cards, and completely off topic here, but this just popped into my head like happens when you and I talk. So I read online somewhere, and of course, so I know this is accurate. But let's see what you're taking. This article said that when you stay at a hotel and you get, you know, one of those little magnetic card dealies, because nobody has keys anymore. This particular service recommended that you take that card with you when you leave and destroy it, because that magnetic strip has got all kinds of information about you on there.
Interesting. I'm not sure exactly how to answer that one, other than it's easy to transfer information from magnetic strip to a fraudulent card. So it's possible, but I don't know what kind of information is actually put on that card.
Obviously,
it's a room code or not.
Right, and it's got, you know, it's got your check in and check out, I'm sure, because I've had them where they don't work on that third day, you know, because they didn't put the correct end date on there. But this site seemed to think that, you know, maybe as much as your credit card that you used to secure the room and all that stuff was on there.
Well, if nothing else, when you check out, or actually when you check in, ask the receptionist at the desk, what kind of information is going on this card, and that will give you an idea of what you should do with it. Or when you're checking out, make sure that they swipe the card and clear it before you leave, because oftentimes we just put the cards on top of the reservation desk and we walk out. But they have to reprogram them every single time, so watch them do it and say, okay.
Well, there we go. There's a good idea, one that I didn't know we were going to get to. So, all right. What else? You're making reservations for your trip. What do you need to know when you're making reservations?
Well, if you're going through a trusted third party, that's always an option for you. If you're going to be doing it yourself and you get everything set, make sure you keep copies of everything. And you might want to verify prior to leaving that, yes, all the reservations are up-to-date, secure, confirmation codes have been reported, and you're good to go. Because the last thing you're going to want is when you get down there and you find out that, whoops, we don't actually have a room. And I would imagine good luck trying to find one where everybody around the country is going to some location to get away from the hassles of winter and trying to enjoy the upcoming springtime.
All right. Anything else on the vacation side?
Yeah, you know, a lot of us, when we go on vacation, we like to take work with us so that we don't come back to an email that's chock full of things that we probably could have taken care of before. When you're down there, be careful about using public Wi-Fi and conducting business during lapses in your day. And also avoid, if you can, avoid doing any kind of personal banking down there unless you are absolutely sure you're on a secure access point. You want to make sure that you keep your personal documents close to you. Make sure you don't carry everything in one single place, because if it's lost or stolen, that's a treasure trove to a thief. And always make sure you're keeping your mobile devices in a secure location. And another good tip is, if you're taking your kids with you, don't be broadcasting your upcoming trip on social media. Tighten your security to maybe just friends and family. And I'd even be cautious about that one, because if you have friends who know you're going somewhere, they also have to have heightened security, because as you know, as you network, you've got friends of friends of friends of friends. And, you know, sooner or later, somebody's going to be able to put two and two together and find out that you're not near your home and you're valuable. So be very careful about that. And then lastly, when you get back, change your passwords, check your accounts, and check your credit reports to make sure that nothing has slipped through the cracks, and that you're safe and secure and back from a great time in some other location.
All right. Well, that all makes sense. You guys also just did a recent release on weights and measures, and turns out we're actually pretty much getting what we pay for in Wisconsin, huh?
That is really good news. Our Bureau of Weights and Measures, we've got about 60 people in there and about 35 folks out in the field who conduct inspections on a regular basis. They inspect the gas pumps. They inspect price accuracy at retail operations. They inspect the retail scales. You know, when you buy food at the deli, you want to make sure you're paying for the egg salad, not the container that it's in. And they also inspect package weights, so that when you're buying a bag of carrots, the weight that's indicated on the bag is exactly what this package weighs. And the good news is, as you said, in 2015, Wisconsin consumers really got what they paid for. We're talking about accuracy numbers of upwards of 97 to 97.5% price accuracy, which is really good. When you consider, we conducted over 221,000 inspections last year. That is a great number. And consumer confidence, that's a statistic we look at, which includes whether an inspection is accurate or whether the consumer was undercharged. So when we take those two factors in, our consumer confidence number is 99%.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Hard to beat that.
Well, there's always that 1%, it remains stable. So it just tells us that Wisconsin businesses are conducting commerce fairly and consistently, and that should be a great thing for Wisconsin consumers to know, that they're not getting ripped off at the scales and at the pumps.
You didn't find any particular chain or any particular type that was more egregious than others, did you?
No.
Okay.
No. It's you know, all over the board. And the one thing that you really have to remember is, for example, gas pumps, they've got moving parts, and parts tend to wear over time. So if you've got an older gas pump, you're going to be actually pumping more gas than what is showing on the screen. So, you know, businesses want to make sure that they upgrade regularly, because you can only calibrate so long before you have to replace something. And that's just natural, and it happens all over the state when you've got mechanical items that are dispensing things. So we oftentimes help businesses out when we say, you know what, we're at that stage where you might want to think about a capital improvement here.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. We're having a community conversation with Frank Frasetto with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection this morning. All right, one more topic, then I'm going to let you go. It is tax time, and I'm guessing that you're probably getting some complaints about identity theft and so on, tax-related.
Yeah, unfortunately, that continues to be our number one call that we get to our hotline. And even coming out of 2015, you know, the tax complaints rose to number three on our top 10 list, and it was driven by tax identity fraud. So what we've been encouraging folks to do is file your income taxes as early as you possibly can, so you can get ahead of any thief that might have stolen your personal information somewhere down the line and is going to end up filing a fraudulent tax return in your name. When you're out there looking for somebody who is going to perhaps help you with your tax filing, do your research and make sure that you're reading the fine print on any contracts you have to sign and the documents that you're going to be looking at. So be vigilant, and above all, do your taxes as soon as you possibly can.
One more thing, if you have a minute yet. You still good for a minute? Wait, one thing I mentioned earlier that we were going to talk about, mentioned when I was talking earlier setting this up, grandparent scams. This is a big time for grandparent scams to apparently to hit, right?
You know, any time there's a huge amount of activity going on, thieves look at trying to exploit that. So Christmas time, obviously, there's all sorts of Christmas scams that are going on. Student breaks. You know, kids are heading down to Texas and Florida and Arizona and Dominican Republic, and that means that they're not nearby, and you're right. The grandparent scams tend to tick up when kids are out and about. We try to encourage people to come up with a family plan. Make sure that your relatives know what your itinerary is, where you're going to be, and when. And also, you might want to come up with a family code name that only your relatives know, so that if one of your grandparents ends up getting a call from somebody and they're, you know, they've got some information about the granddaughter, grandson, nephew, niece that makes it seem legitimate, you can ask that question, you know, what's the family code name? And that should tell you right away whether you're dealing with a scam call. So resist the urge to act under pressure. Hang up the phone and call your son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, and find out where they're at and what the story is. So, again, pay attention. And obviously, don't wire any money until you verify what is actually going on.
And most of the time, legitimate agencies are not going to call you and demand that you immediately wire transfer them money.
Absolutely not. That does not happen, especially if we're talking about the IRS scam. They don't do that. They use snail mail and let you know what's going on via that venue. And then, you know, they may end up having phone conversations after that, but it's because you've already been notified by mail.
Right. All right. Well, thank you very much. Always appreciate our little monthly. We seem to be having monthly conversations now, which works out all right. I like to think we're informing people along the way here.
I really appreciate your help, Rick, in making sure that your listeners are up to date on the recent scams, and I look forward to talking with you every month.
All right, great. Hey, have a great day, Frank.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. That's Frank Fresetto with the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and hopefully you got some worthwhile information out of that. We'll put this together and get it on the webpage for you to take a closer listen to and maybe follow up on a couple things if you need to. So. It is, time is it 8:30?